Laugh a lot. BK.
BK.
Be kind. Cast up, roll things. Little food for your soul, things. Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful things. Laugh a little more, things. Tighten up your core, things. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things.
With Amy Brown.
Okay, episode 8, here we are. I've got my sister coming on this episode to talk about Aunt Flo, if you know what I'm talking about, because our mom did not talk to us about girl time, periods, whatever. She really just didn't. And then when the time came, my sister and I were both kind of in the dark. And then by the time, you know, I started, my sister was in college, so she wasn't really around. I was just so in the dark. And I had to call my sister the other day freaking out because I've got a daughter now and my sister has a daughter. And obviously they're both going through a lot of things where we're like trying to handle it differently than our mom did. Now, our mom was awesome. Don't get us wrong. Like, she was really a great mom. But there was some areas she just didn't do well at talking with us about. And I kind of wish that she would have. So maybe if you're a mom or a girl, you'll be able to relate to our conversation about this. And I also have Jamie Ivey coming on. I got an email from a listener talking about being white and having people in your life of another race. Like, her boyfriend is black and they talk about having children. And that's a whole thing. And Jamie and I are both moms. Adoptive moms of children that are not white. So we touch on some of that. And then I talk about hot lemon water, why you need to be drinking it every day. And then a show that I just got done binging with my husband that I'm pretty obsessed with and I love. And I think that you need to know about it and you need to be watching it. So there you go. That's kind of the little outline of what is to come on today's episode. So let's get started.
First thing.
Okay, I've got my sister Christy on. And Christy, do you have any nicknames for periods?
Well, there's Aunt Flo.
Yeah, that's the only one I could think of, but I didn't know if you had more.
I mean, that's the main one, right?
Yeah.
Like the, they called the Crimson Tide.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's what we're discussing. It came up because we're both moms of daughters and, you know, dealing with some of that as moms now, you kind of reflect on how it was dealt with you by your mom. And in our case, it's our mom. And our mom just did not talk to us.
She did not. She did not talk to us about periods, about shaving, about bras, about the birds and the bees and all the things.
Why? I mean, she was a good mom. Why do you think she just...
Oh, yeah, totally.
Why didn't she do that?
I don't know, but I think it's a common thing of some moms of that generation, because I definitely have friends that were totally in the same boat. It just made me want to be sure that I was a lot more direct on being sure I mentioned all of these things to my daughter, who's now 15. So we've kind of crossed some thresholds of all of that. But, you know, several years ago, just kind of getting her ready around fourth grade, I think, is when we really started conversations. And then they've been kind of going ever since. But no, mom did not mention it to us. In fact, I didn't even want to tell her when I went through it. Did you?
No. And she never talked to me about it. I just knew, okay, I think I need a pad, or I know that there's something about a tampon, but I didn't know how to really use it. And I was on drill team, and I started it way late. Like, I was probably in the ninth grade when I started. So I didn't have you to come to because you were in college. And
right.
I put on like spandex every day and went to drill team practice and would be using a pad because nobody helped me and nobody told me, and it was so embarrassing. And that's really difficult to do. Like, the reason why tampons are amazing is if you're a dancer or you're in sports or you're swimming, but you know, when you get in water, it sort of stops, right? Is that true? Because it's true to me. Like, if you get in water, you're...
Well, I don't know if it like stops.
It does.
It's just, you know, diluted, or...
I don't know exactly what happens, but for me, I was able to swim without any issues. Because, again, didn't know how to use a tampon.
So you would not use a tampon when you went swimming?
Yeah, because I didn't know how.
I know, but what if you, like, get out of the
Because
water?
I would still, you
oh,
know,
gosh.
We had a pool. We would go swimming. We would have friends over. And
oh, yeah, if it was at our house.
Yeah, it was at our house. Like, I wasn't, like, out at the public pool, like, hey, everybody.
Picturing, like, being at the public pool.
No, but I would have my friends over, and we would be able to go swimming. And then I was too embarrassed to talk to some of them about it. And then finally, one of my friends, who obviously her mom was someone that was super open and talked to her about everything, she just sat me down. I don't know how many months I had been experiencing a period, but she finally showed me exactly what to do with the tampon. And I was like, thank you.
Had you told mom you started at the time?
I don't know.
Like, how did you get pads?
I have no recollection of ever talking to mom. I mean, I'm sure I just went to the store and bought them, probably with my allowance.
But top mom either. And I did all her stuff, and I hid it under my mattress. And I don't know why I did these things, but I remember I told my best friend, Emily, and I remember we kind of were going through conversations, and I would go through a period, and I still wouldn't have told my mom, but I would, like, hijack her tampons and pads and stuff and, like, hide them under my mattress. And then finally I got up the nerve to just tell her, and I don't know why I was so embarrassed. And I don't even remember if it was a big deal or not, but then all of a sudden she still didn't really talk to me much about it, but all of a sudden it was on, like, her radar for grocery needs and things like that.
So she would buy you stuff at the store. I'm sure she did eventually.
I honestly don't remember.
Me neither. I have no memory of any of it other than my friend Kinsey showing me how.
I also talked to my friends, but I mean, I read cover to cover those little folded instruction pamphlets that come inside the tampon box, especially. Mm-hmm. I don't know, in the pads. And then I was scared to death of toxic shock syndrome. Like, I just knew that was going to take me down. You know, they really had some major warnings in that paperwork. I mean, that's kind of how I learned it. But I know, you know, mom didn't really either take me, you know, bra shopping. I stole that also from my neighbor.
So I don't know.
She's a thief.
Okay, same thing. She never took me bra shopping or talked to me about it. And I remember in sixth grade, which by sixth or seventh grade, a lot of my girlfriends had boobs and they were wearing bras. If anything, you kind of just wore a bra or a training bra to, like, be in with it.
Right, because you're getting, like, little breast buds, they call them.
So in sixth grade, a guy goes to pop my bra in class.
Oh my gosh.
And I wasn't wearing one. I remember that clear as day. I was mortified.
Middle school?
It was at Fulmore.
Oh, for sure. That was a game that was going on when I was there, too. And that is the exact same reason I stole the bra from my neighbor. If you weren't wearing one, they would just call you out. And it was like this major thing. And
yeah, you know, I think that mom could have, if she would have talked to us, I would have known more. But yeah, she didn't. And she didn't take us shopping. And I didn't have a bra on. And I was scarred from that, for sure. But I think as moms of daughters, we have to be more intentional. And we learned that from our mom. Okay, this is not how we want to do it. So now maybe we're overly intentional. Like, I'm trying to talk to my daughter about certain things. And I'm like, look, I even tell her. I say, my mom didn't talk to me about this stuff. So I'm just trying to be proactive and I want to talk to you about it. And, you know, if I say the word vagina, she looks at me, my daughter, and, like, freaks out. She's like, what? No. But my daughter's 11. We need to be talking about this stuff. And I don't know how involved is your husband in talking, like, period or girl stuff? Because my husband he can't even handle that I, as an adult, like, he's 41. He can't even handle that I, at 37, a woman he's tried to have children with, that I have a period. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't want to have anything to do with it, even though he knows it's necessary.
He'd rather pretend that doesn't exist.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, my husband grew up, I know your husband had a sister, too, but my husband grew up with several sisters, you know, so that was just normal talk for him. And he's just a little bit different personality, so he doesn't mind bringing up, like, uncomfortable situations. In fact, he kind of thrives on it. He likes, you know, difficult topics.
So I guess it depends on the dad's personality.
As far as, like, talking with, you know, my 15-year-old in the years past, I have honestly have liked having kind of this leeway into kind of difficult conversations and just saying, you know, my mom never, ever spoke to me about any of these things. So that's kind of my segue into saying, so I want to be sure that we have, you know, gone over, you know, this or that or whatever. And so I remember when I was kind of, you know, she was probably around fifth grade, and I was just thinking this might be something helpful for, you know, moms that are out there that maybe have girls that are third grade, fourth grade, just kind of getting prepping for those conversations. But I think it was fourth grade, actually. We put this little stash in the bathroom in a little pouch, and it had, you know, pads and tampons in there. And I was just letting her know it was in the bathroom and that was something that may or may not happen soon. You know, I didn't know. I think I was seventh grade, maybe. It was the summer after seventh grade, and we were coming back from a beach trip. I was wearing a yellow and black swimsuit, and I remember I noticed it when I went to the bathroom. And I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot tell my mom, and I just kind of figured things out. In fact, I think Dad was with us because we were driving back. So I don't know. That was a weird time, you know, but I didn't know what to do. And I mean, I kind of knew what was happening to an extent, you know, but I didn't have a little prepared kit that I was carrying in a bag with me or in my bathroom at home.
So you gave your daughter a prepared kit.
Right. So I just think that helped kind of pave the way a little bit of, you know, this is something that may be coming up soon for you. And I just want you to know, these are the items that you'll use. You know, but these days there's so many other things, you know, like I still to this day haven't told her about, you know, the Diva Cup, which is like a whole other thing. And then there, apparently there's these panties you can wear that can soak up like two tampons worth of stuff. You know, there's this necklace you can wear around your neck
and
carry a tampon. Like there's actually a lot of stuff I still have not shared with her. And I've just been kind of thinking through it. Maybe I need to do a little more research and bring some more things to the table just to be extra thorough.
Yeah. Options. You know? Here's the options.
You will love that.
Yeah. So. Okay. So if any of you moms out there listening are like, okay, I need to start having these conversations. One book that was helpful for me with my daughter was these books that American Girl Doll makes, and they're called The Care and Keeping of You, and it dives right into a lot of stuff for you. So I found that to be super helpful. And then Christy, I know you used like particular books too, right? With like heavy illustrations.
Right. Well, this has been probably starting 10 years ago, so I'm not sure when these came out. It's a series called God's Design for Sex. It really goes into more depth than just talking about periods and body changes and things like that, but it really will start, kind of the first book is for ages 3 and 4 and up.
Yeah.
Kind of just to start discussions. And then the second book is for ages 5 to 8, and so it gets a little bit more in depth. And then there's kind of an 8 and up book, gets a little more clear. And that's kind of covering all your bases for boys and girls. And it is teaching girls about things that happen to boys and boys about things that also happen to girls, just so people don't walk into puberty and adolescence just completely naive. And I think it's a great time to start even earlier, you know, kindergarten or earlier, just getting those conversations going
and get
about
them comfortable.
How we're designed.
Yeah.
And how we're made. And that is definitely something we didn't have growing up. And it created sort of this stigma about the whole conversation where we didn't even want to bring it up to our parents.
Yeah.
Well, no, you never talked to Dad about any of that.
Oh, my gosh, no. Please.
And for sure not, you know, and not Mom either until we were older. I mean, as we were adults, of course, all of that stuff, you know, was
comes
much
out.
Easier
it's no
to
problem.
Talk about.
Yeah, but I think that, so hopefully this can be some encouragement for people listening. If you haven't had these talks and you've got kids, like Christy just said, that the first book for, what was the name of that book?
The series is called God's Design for
Okay.
Sex, and
Good.
There's a book 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, so I mean, ages 3 and 4, you could start. And I've had tons of friends that say, yes, absolutely. The younger you start, the better. You've got to start this communication. So if you haven't started, it's time to get on it. And I'm probably going to have to order those books, Christy, because I think that we need something a little bit more in depth than the American Girl Doll books, but we just need to make it more of an easy topic because obviously it's something that's happening to girls and women every single day, all the time, every month. My daughter's like,
right.
Wait, how long does it last? Like, seriously, how long does it last? I said, well, until you hit menopause, basically until you're a grandma. And she was like, what? So yeah, it's something we're going to be dealing with for a long time. So we might as well get comfortable talking about it. So thank you for coming on to chat with me.
You are so welcome. And I don't know if you're thinking of or getting the idea to do any type of like period party. Have you heard of those?
Yes, I have. Where moms like throw.
I think that might be a little bit overboard.
I know. But I've heard they too. They have like a cake and you cut into it and the cake is red velvet.
Yes. I would have literally died. I don't know. There's extremes.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for having me on to talk about periods.
Okay. Awesome. I'll have you back to talk about something else. Love you.
Okay. Love you. Bye.
Bye. Second thing. Okay. So I want to talk about hot lemon water and why I drink it every morning. I started doing it back in like 2011 or 2012 or so, when I started following Kimberly Snyder's plan, when I really went vegan and plant-based and gluten-free and One thing she recommended for sure to do every morning before you have her Glowing Green smoothie was to have hot water with lemon. And I had never done it before. And I really honestly have done it pretty religiously since. Now, I don't follow her diet to a T anymore, like just because I've changed a little bit in the way that I eat. And I'm not as strict with some of that stuff. And I really was trying to do it to get pregnant and I never got pregnant. But anyway, I still like a lot of the recipes that I learned from her. And I definitely changed my body when I did that and learned more about food as medicine and how it can be healing to the body. I learned so much from Kimberly Snyder. I highly recommend you check her out. But there's other nutritionists that kind of counter some of her thoughts that I really respect and adore too, like Kelly Levesque. She has a book called Body Love you should definitely check out. So there's something for everybody. And Kelly has meat in her plan where Kimberly doesn't. But anyway, back to the point, hot lemon water. One reason why Kimberly recommends that you drink it is because lemon supports your liver, which is your main fat burning organ, and then also your main detoxifying organ. Like everything you process goes through your liver. So if you're looking to detox, it's going to be coming from your liver, and the healthier your liver is, well, the more you're going to be able to detox and be in better shape. So if you really want to transform something like your skin, sometimes people can have really bad breakouts and they want to fix it topically, but really it could be something going on in your liver and your organs and your gut and how you're processing things. So she tells all of her celebrity clients, start your day with hot lemon water. And then some people are like, well, can I just put lemons in my cold water? But she goes into a little bit about that. And one example I remember reading, she said to picture cheese. And when it's cheese is warmed, it's like melted. But if it's in the fridge, it's hardened like a block or a ball. And then when you put it heat underneath it, it starts to melt and relax and release. So if you're trying to relax and release things in your body, the hot water will help you do that faster and greater for digestion and stuff like that. So check it out. Go to the grocery store, add lemons to your list, because I really think that you'll start to see some benefits if you start doing that every single morning. Okay, so I have to give a quick exciting update about Espoir. Like if you bought a Four Things tote or a Four Things pullover, a little pouch or a Born Your hat, at the end of last year, especially leading into Christmas, we were supporting My Life Speaks, an orphanage in Haiti that works with special needs kids, but they offer family-based care instead of institutionalized care. So these kids get like a real family that they live with. It's super cool. And we were able to send them $100,000 at the end of the year. So, I mean, it's pretty amazing. I mean, the impact is just so nutso. So if you shopped, thank you so much. You made a huge difference. And I also get a lot of questions about this star necklace that I wear, and that is under the Espoir line, which supports Haiti. And Espoir means hope in Haitian Creole. So each purchase supports spreading hope throughout Haiti. So thank you for that. And check out the star necklace at theshotforward.com if you want to do that. And this necklace is super cool because, yeah, it does support Haiti, but it also supports women locally in Nashville, providing economic opportunity for them. So it's made here in the U.S. So it has local and global impact. So now I want to address a question I got from Erica about being an adoptive mom to children of a different race. And here's what Erica said. You've adopted two beautiful children from Haiti as a white woman. I too am white and the man I'm dating is black. I very much want kids, but he said he's hesitant to have children because he doesn't want them experiencing the racism he has. I was wondering if that's something you've had to address with your children as a white woman and any advice you may have. So for this question, the first person that came to mind was not me, myself, which I know that this question was for me, but I thought of my friend Jamie Ivy, which I have here with us now. Jamie.
Hey. Hi, Amy.
And she's an adopted mom as well from two kids from Haiti. And then you have a biological son and then another adopted son from San Antonio, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Good memory. Yes.
So yeah. And Jamie is very vocal about her family and kind of how awesome y'all are. I mean, you have to deal with certain race things with your kids. So I thought I would bring you in to kind of tackle this question with me, because I still feel like I'm new to this whole thing, even though it's been a year and you've been dealing with it for a lot longer. Or I don't even know if I want to use the word dealing, but you've had to address it for a lot longer than I have. So I wanted to bring in your thoughts.
Yeah. First of all, I just want to say that this is a really great question because it's just real life, you know? And again, like Amy said, I'm a white woman. And so I come to it with zero experience of being Black. And so there's just that. But my experience, like Amy, like you, is having Black children. And so Erica, her boyfriend, he has a good point. I mean, there is racism still alive and well in 2019, and he probably has dealt with a lot of things that, as us women being white, will never experience. And so I think, like, there's a part of this, what you have to do, Erica, is just to acknowledge, yes, this is real. What you're saying is true. This really happened. You know, as a mom, me dealing with my kids, we have had so many conversations about prejudiceness and racism and people thinking, looking at you different because your skin is different. For me, my advice to Erica is to really listen to your boyfriend, like to listen to his experiences, listen to what he's saying, and never say it can't be that bad, or I'm sure you didn't really experience that, because his experience is true and real. And I think it's hard for us to understand as white women. I don't know if I told you this, Amy, but about a year and a half ago, we had someone say something to our kids. We live in a city outside of Austin, and it's a kind of smaller town type feel. And it was at a football game. A man looked at my two boys, and it was during the national anthem, and he said, "You boys better not kneel." Mm. And my boys are not on the football team. They were in the stands. Like, it was just, and so my boys came home and told this to us, and they were just like, what's going on? Like, what's happening? And it led to so many conversations in our house. And so I don't have like the answer for Erica and her situation, but one thing that I do encourage you is just to listen and to validate. And then just offer like love and listen, because as white people, we can't change the experiences that they've had. You know what I mean? And I don't know if you've been through anything with this, Amy, with your kids yet, but you will for sure. And so I think the best thing that we can do is listen to the experiences, know that they're real, validate them. But I don't know what to tell her about having kids.
Right.
I mean, what
well,
do you think?
I think that your advice to just listen is valid, and I think really wise, because sometimes we can shut it off because we are naive to it, because we haven't had to personally experience it at times. We're sort of live in la la land at times about it. Like, okay, we're past that. Yeah. But really, there's so many things that are not. And I've only had to deal with looks and stares and some little questions, but nothing that has really caused us to go into like, okay, we need to sit down and have a talk. But I know these talks are coming. And when we were preparing for a domestic adoption, we ended up going international, but domestic was our first route. You know, we were open to any race. And so we had to do some training through our adoption agency. And one of the things we had to check some boxes. And one of the things we had to check off was we had to go put ourselves in a situation where we were the minority.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, an easy way to do that is find a Black church and go.
Yeah.
And so I was mentoring this little boy named Trevion at a junior high. I lived in North Carolina at the time. And I knew Trevion went to a predominantly Black church. So his grandma led worship. He would tell me about it. So I just went to him one day when we were meeting. And I said, "Hey, would you mind if my husband and I joined you at church this weekend?" And he was like, "What?" He's like, "Well, sure, that'd be awesome." So we ended up going, and we literally were the only white people there.
Mm-hmm.
And it did feel like, okay, people were looking, this is different. Then the pastor, everybody was really friendly and awesome, but he asked if there was any visitors. And we're like, yes, we're like raising our hands. But it was so obvious that we were visitors.
Mm-hmm.
But the point of that exercise, if you will, was that, you know, when you adopt a child of another race, depending on where you live, where you go to school, your neighborhood, your kid may look around and be like, why am I the only one that looks this way?
Yeah.
Depending on how you choose to diversify their life.
Totally.
And then, you know, in part of the training too, the guy that was speaking, he's like, look, what you're not going to understand about your kids is that, you know, one day they may be driving and they may get pulled over simply because of their race. And you don't understand that. And when they come home and talk to you about it as their mom or their dad, and if you try to blow it off like, oh, well, maybe that's not what really happened, you need to understand that that could be what really happened.
Yeah.
And you can't relate to that. So some advice that he gave in that was find a mentor or someone that is the same race as your child that could have likely experienced that or life or has wisdom or advice, and make sure that they have people in their life that they can relate to.
Totally, 100%. And I think the reason that it can seem as though for us who are of a predominant race, white, it can feel like, oh, it's not that, this doesn't really happen anymore. And that's like, because it's never happened to us, because it will never happen to us because because we're white. That's called white privilege. And so I think the advice that people gave you to go spend some time in a predominantly black church is so good for you to experience what that feels like. And so I think Erica's number one step is just to make sure that she is acknowledging what her fiance or her boyfriend is saying is really true, and that his experiences are real. They're not like, he's not exaggerating. They're not made up. Like, these are his real life experiences, and maybe she could understand a little bit more. I'm not saying that that's going to make him change his mind about having kids, but maybe she could understand a little bit more.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's good. So we've kind of got, I feel like for Erica, she's walking away. It is hard. This is a long topic to address. This is a journey. If she ends up, you know, depending on what happens with her and her boyfriend, and if they decide to, you know, have a family or get married or do whatever it is, I love that you started off strong with the just listen. We've got to be open. And that really can go in any relationship that you have, especially involving the topic of race. We have to listen.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's something that I have learned that is preparing me as parenting black children, is like what you just said earlier, when they do have these experiences that don't look like my experiences, that they're still real.
Right. And so that's the other angle, I guess, Erica could approach with her boyfriend, is that, you know, first of all, she can listen. Secondly, she can take from some of the training we had to go through for our adoption and maybe just express to him that they can find good mentors, or he can be like, they can have biracial children. I don't know if he's concerned too that maybe because she's white, she's not going to understand.
Yeah.
And then there's the whole, the child grows up with, my dad's black, but my mom's white. What race am I? Where do I fall? Then there's that whole, I'm sure he's worried about that whole angle too. But I think that, you know, with good, when you surround yourself with good people and a strong foundation, like, you can still raise a child and they don't have to feel whatever he's scared of is going to happen. Like, I feel like there's avenues to get them through that.
Yeah. And I think, like, this is not diminishing what this fear of his, but we could all list like 1,000 fears about bringing kids into the world. I mean, you know, like, we live in a hard place. It's a scary world. There's scary things. And so, not to diminish anything about that fear that he has, but I think that there's always fear about bringing a kid into the world, right? Because it's hard. There's hard things that happen in life. And I think it's just, it's hard. So it's a big decision. And I think I'm proud of her for not taking it lightly, though.
I know. I just, when I got it, I was like, I'm not totally equipped to answer this on my own. So I'm going to bring Jamie in to talk about it. And Jamie's awesome, y'all. If y'all want to follow her on Instagram, you're just at Jamie Ivy, right? It's
That's
pretty
me.
Simple.
That's me. Mm-hmm.
JAMIEIVEY at Jamie Ivy. Right. And you can see her beautiful family. She posts a lot about them, and they are just precious. And Story is probably my favorite.
She's everybody's favorite, let's be honest.
Yeah, I think I saw in your, you know, best nine of 2018.
Oh, she's 2018. In like every picture.
Yeah, yes. Like her, your most liked picture. Yeah. It was totally. Like story. So she's precious. She's a precious little girl. So
thank
you for coming on and kind of tackling this. I know I put you on the spot a little bit, but you're another white woman that I know that's going through this. And I just wanted to get your experience. And I feel like I walked away from this little talk too, knowing that I probably need to listen more and then be ready for some hard talks with my kids. And when that time comes, I'm probably going to call you.
There you go. I'll be here.
Okay, great. Awesome. Well, thank you, Jamie.
Thanks, Amy.
Okay, so I want to talk about Jack Ryan for a minute. If you haven't heard of the show, you've got to watch it. Or maybe you've read Tom Clancy's books about Jack Ryan, but it's an Amazon original show. And if you didn't know this, Amazon has TV shows just like Netflix. They create their own content, but they also have other shows up there and even movies that you can just log in with your Amazon Prime account and boom, you can watch Amazon TV, which is super awesome. And oddly, like, some people don't know you can do that. So this is me sharing with you. Yes, you have this if you've got Amazon Prime. And then if you don't have Amazon Prime, you probably should get that too, because it's pretty awesome. And I'm totally into Amazon Prime now, because I'm a mom and working and super busy, and sometimes I just can't get to wherever I need to get something. And I Amazon Prime now it, and it's so crazy. It just shows up in like an hour or two, and it's pretty amazing. But back to Jack Ryan. So the first season follows Jack Ryan, which is played by John Krasinski, which is weird to me because when he's Jim on The Office, you don't picture him being able to play this crazy CIA agent out in the field, like looking awesome. And he's pretty legit. Like, I'm buying it. I'm like, okay, this is cool. I kind of like him as this role. So Jack Ryan is played by John Krasinski, and Jack Ryan's a CIA analyst, and he has a desk job, though. But he's taken away from that and thrown into the field because he's the one that discovered a string of crazy bank transfers, which are being carried out by this rising Islamic terrorist. And then he goes out and it's all action packed. I loved it. My husband loved it. We binged it over Christmas break. Some people that I know now, they're just now starting it. And that's what made me think about doing it as one of my things, because I feel like you guys need to know about the show. But some of my friends are just now starting it and I'm kind of jealous. Like, I wish I was starting it. Another one of those times that I have that feeling is Eddie. He's a producer on the Bobby Bones Show. He is about to finish up Friday Night Lights, and I'm so jealous. I remember the first time I started, I was way late to the game when it came to Friday Night Lights. If you haven't watched that, you have to. Such a great show. But I didn't watch it when it was actually on. I binged it later, only like a couple years ago, and I loved it. It was so good. So when other people start it, like Eddie started it and he's about to finish it, I'm jealous of that feeling. Of like, oh, I wish I was watching it and binging it for the first time. So I'm not saying that Jack Ryan is at the level of Friday Night Lights. Don't get it twisted. But it was a cool show, especially to watch. And if you got a husband, sometimes it's hard to find husband and wife shows where everybody likes it. But my husband and I like this one. So check it out. And then seeing John Krasinski on there will make you crave The Office. And then you'll start putting that on, which I go to Netflix for that. Type in The Office and I start watching old episodes of that when I need to laugh. And The Office is just so funny. And the more I watch it, the funnier it gets. And I'm not this like crazy Office fanatic, but I have been watching it a lot more ever since Jack Ryan ended, because I guess I'm craving some John. But that show is so funny. So send me, email me some of y'all's favorite shows, what you like to binge right now, if there's something new that you're watching. That is my new recommendation, Jack Ryan. And you can email me at 4thingswithamybrown.com. Okay, that's a wrap on today's episode. A big thank you to Jamie Ivey for coming on to talk with me for a little bit. She's just so awesome. I hope y'all check out her podcast. If you're not familiar with Jamie, you got to check out The Happy Hour. That's her podcast. It's really good. She has a lot of amazing guests. And she also has her book, If You Only Knew, another cool thing you could check out. And then if you end up listening to her podcast and you really like it, you've got to check out her live events. I participated in one last fall. I was one of the speakers up there and it was really, really cool. And she has another one coming up in April in Austin. I know tickets go on sale later this month. I don't have the exact details because I don't know that she shared that yet, but Happy Hour Live. And you can always check out jamieivy.com to see what she's up to. And then shout out to my sister, Christy, for coming on to talk periods with me. I always love when she takes time to chat with us. Definitely we'll bring her back for a few other ideas that we have going on, but we just had to end up talking about the whole period thing because now we're both moms and we had an experience with our mom and how we're handling our daughters so differently. So hopefully that helped some of you out there somewhere. And if you're a guy listening and you were like, what is happening? I'm so sorry, but you know, you might have daughters too, and you might need to be involved in these talks and conversations. So, you know, maybe, or you can fast forward. You can always fast forward. That's the thing about podcasts. You could, you know, go on to the next thing. A big thank you to Elizabeth and Mike D for making this podcast possible. They're the ones that get it up on iTunes and iHeartRadio. And then, I mean, y'all are awesome. I was just on iTunes checking out something and I saw some new comments and reviews, and I just appreciate that so much that y'all are doing that. And that's how people learn about the podcast. So you can also share this with others if you think it's something they would want to listen to. I love when people tell me about new podcasts to listen to. So hopefully if it's your jam, it could be their jam and we could grow this thing and it would be awesome. And then shout out Walker Hayes. Some people still email me. They're like, wait, who sings your song? And so I'm always going to be grateful for Walker and the theme song that he wrote for this podcast and how it reminds us to be kind, choose joy, laugh a lot, eat cake. So now I'm going to get into a quick email shout out. And this email came from Julie. She said, hi, Amy. I just binge listened to your podcast. Love it. Longtime listener of the Bobby Bones Show. And I'm very curious about your beauty routine. It seems you're very focused on health and natural products. What do you use on your skin? Also, you really shave your face? I really want to do it because I have a very fuzzy face, but I'm scared. You really do it? ? Thanks, Julie. So to answer your question, Julie, yes, I really do shave my face and I have for several years now and it's amazing. I can actually probably make it a thing and do a whole beauty routine talk. I can bring the Nashville Beauty Girl in to probably talk about this, and even Kelly from Velvet's Edge, because Kelly from Velvet's Edge is the only reason I shave my face. And she's done several blog posts about it. So you can check that out at velvetsedge.com and just type in, I'm sure, just search shaving face or face shaving, whatever, it should come up. But I can definitely do a whole, you know, thing about it coming up soon. But yes, shave your face. Once you shave, you won't go back. Not shaving is whack or something like that. Okay. All right. Hope you all have a great day. Bye. Be kind. Choose joy. Laugh a lot. EK. EK. Be kind. Choose joy. Laugh a lot. Cast up roll things. Little fool for your soul, life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful thing. Laugh a little more things. Tighten up your core things. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things. With Amy Brown.